How's everybody doing? Getting just a little echo. All right. Everybody good on this side? Craig, you good? All right. Good. Title of the message is... The title of the message this morning is called Dirty Little Secrets. We all have them, don't we? We just don't really like them to go public. Some have a sturdy little secret that they just can't go to shopping without coming back with a load of goods. I'm going to go in and just get one thing. And then they get in the car and they, well, I saw this and I saw that and these were on sale. And some of us feel inadequate. We get into a room and we start to look around and we can start to compare ourselves to the other people there. And, well, she's prettier than I am and he's richer than I am and she's smarter than I am. And the list goes on and on. Others of us might have a station or on television or a website that we know we shouldn't frequent, but we find ourselves getting bored and we go there. And you all know my dirty little secret, don't you? Which one? I don't know. Why don't you tell me? My 5-month pregnancy that I've been dealing with for the last 10 years. Oh. All right. You know how that goes. Every Sunday I say, I need to start to eat better. And then Tuesday I find myself by a Burger King or a McDonald's or a pizza shop. And then I walk away from that and I say, well, that was my cheat day. And then Thursday, I get by those same McDonald's and Burger Kings and pizza shops, and I got no excuse. But we all have dirty little secrets. Secrets as various and as broad as they are long. We have those dirty little secrets, and we have them in church as well and in our own spiritual lives. We hear a challenging message. We get our minds a little more focused on Jesus and we say, I'll do better. And then we come back with our new spanking new Bible. We think to ourselves, if I could just get into a better study group or small group or Sunday school class. And then we see something on TV and we think, man, if I could just go to that seminar and learn how all this is supposed to work. And then we stumble and we struggle. And we stumble and we struggle and we just can't figure it all out. We say things or do things that we shouldn't and we get frustrated. And that turns into anger, and we try to hold it together, even though within the foundation of our faith, we are in the same boat as so many others on a sea of bitterness, just trying to hold on. And all that's true because we have watched that through the centuries. We all struggle with that little secret. The dirty little secret in the church is this, is that the Christian life, the Christian walk, is as impossible as it seems. You can't do it on your own. You cannot walk the Christian walk on your own. And that's not a new truth. The Apostle Paul, who used to arrest Christians and then became one and started to help with the rise of the church. He tells us in Romans chapter 7, you can turn in your Bibles, you can read it on your screen, and if you have your phone here this morning, you can tap it into your phone and listen along. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, Paul says, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I don't do, but what I hate to do, I do. Paul keeps saying, I keep tripping up. Here I am. You know, Jesus' encounter on the road to Damascus. And yet I still keep tripping up. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. And maybe in the last 24 hours, you might fit into that category. You were bored. You needed a rush. Maybe you got into that materialism thing of going to the store, figuring, oh, I'll just get that one thing, or better yet, I won't tell you who I'm referring to, but there is somebody in my life that says, oh, let's just go shop. We won't buy anything. You know. Or you fall into that trap of comparing yourself to others, knowing full well that God has created you for a reason, for a purpose. And he says, I've made you so that you can do what I want you to do, and don't look around, because my eyes are on you. And so, I ask the question this morning, if any of you have the answer, you can come up here and finish the sermon. The question is this: how do we keep ourselves? How do we overcome that falling day by day? How do we free ourselves from this commitment-driven, guilt-laden religious lifestyle that so many of us get trapped up in? We can learn some more from Paul if we go to verse 21 of that passage. He says, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the sin of the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work in me. What a wretched man I am, Paul says. Who will rescue me from the body that is subject to death? So thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law. Here is what this guy is saying to us. What he's saying to this group of people, this guy that led the growth of the early church, he says, I still keep screwing up. I want to go right and I go left. I want to go up and I go down. I get it all wrong. He doesn't say, I need more information. He doesn't say, I need better resources. He doesn't say, oh, I need to go to another conference. Nothing is wrong with those things, but Paul realizes there is something bigger, and he says, I need rescued from it, and Paul is already in Christ. Paul is saying, I believe in God. I believe in what he's done, the work he did on the cross. I believe all of that, and yet I still stumble. Any Baltimore Raven fans here? One? Oh, good. That's good. Steeler fans? Hey, here we go. Eagles fans. Okay, all right. All right, well, for the Baltimore Raven fans that are here that didn't fess up, I had decided that I wanted to become a great football player. And I hired the best guy I knew at playing football. His name was Lamar Jackson, the quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. I said, listen, I want you to teach me to be a good football player. He looked at me and he kind of fought back a laugh. And I said, how much would it cost me to do that? So it cost me $20,000 a minute. But I have an endless supply of money. I'm a pastor. So we get started, and he's ready, and he teaches me football, and I see the game from a whole new light. I see how offenses work together for blocking and tackling, and I see how defenses can go in and break up plays. I leave, and I say to him, you know, listen, I've appreciated your time over these years, you know, over these weeks teaching me football. I think I got it. He said, well, listen, I think it's time. It took us a lot more time than we thought, but, you know, I think you'll just go out there and enjoy the game. Go out there and play. And I went to the Y. You know the Y, W-C-A, Y-M-C-A. Okay. No wonder that didn't work. No. We went to the YMCA, and there was a group that gets together every week, and they play flag football. The AARP group. And I came out all with my new skills and training, and I couldn't even beat the other team on the AARP group from the Y. Do you know why, Debbie?
Practice.
No? Because I am not Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson. And he is able to do amazing things with a football. But Jesus didn't plan for me to do those things. He planned me to do other things. And so, I can't be Lamar Jackson. And so Jesus sees that we get frustrated with not being able to imitate others. And he says, well, good, I'm glad you are starting to realize it is not you trying to imitate anybody but me. And I want to help you to imitate me because I see you stumbling again and again and again. And if you want to, turn to John chapter 16, where he says, very truly I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, also known as the counselor, yeah, redeemer, yeah, okay. The advocate will come. It's good, he says, that I go away. I know you have been thankful that I've been here. I know that you are feeling generally pretty good when I'm around you. But listen, guys, what I have given you, you should wait to see what happens when he comes. He has something better. He is saying, I have something better for you, my friends. The advocate is the Holy Spirit. And when you turn from sin to Jesus, Jesus does this amazing thing. The Holy Spirit is just waiting there to come into our lives and get to work. Now, I know when we talk about the Holy Spirit, some people get a little freaky. They're like, where is my eject button on my chair? Because I want to get out of here. The Holy Spirit is just something that lives in you, somebody that lives in you. And in that position, when he comes into our lives, he begins to rebuild and make a brand new you and me. It is part of what coming to Christ is about. He does things for you on the inside that you could never do yourself. Let's turn to another passage of Scripture. John chapter 4. Jesus is beginning to explain the function of this Holy Spirit at work in our lives as we read John chapter 4, 13 and 14. It says, Jesus answered. He is at a well. And it's just him and this other woman. And this woman has a reputation of sleeping around. And he begins his conversation. And she's like, hey, listen, I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew. Hey, you're a man and I'm a woman. We shouldn't be talking. And Jesus uses this opportunity to start a conversation to describe the Holy Spirit to this lady. She gives him a drink of water, and he says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. You'll notice I brought my cup this morning, okay? I almost got caught into singing a duet this morning with our pianist, and she's like really good, and I'm like really bad. But I did get out in time, Debbie. You'll be glad to know that. So no noise pollution coming from Waldemuth this morning. So, Jesus says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus is saying, when you come to me, when you allow me to reside in your life, the Holy Spirit will come inside and become the spring that drives your life. The decision you and I have to make is, are we going to hold on to the old man and the old ways that got us nowhere and kept making us stumble, or are we going to step into that new man and walk in his power and grace? When I hang with the Holy Spirit, when I'm on that side of the equation, he's working in me. And you know what happens? I find myself far more patient. I really do. Mrs. Ward is laughing over there. Patient. All right. I am more patient. I am not a patient person. I want it now. Let's do it. Come on. Let's go, go, go. But I'm more patient. I'm also more gentle. I just pounded on the pulpit, so you'll probably question that. But I am a more gentle person. It's not my personality. Like I said, I'm that A guy. A, let's get it done. Let's do it. Boom, 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 boom. But you know what happens when the Holy Spirit guides and directs and gives me strength I get to see in the bigger picture in those moments. And my mind stays where it should and shouldn't wander off. And I act different because I am different. Remember, I can't be Lamar Jackson, but I can be the best Doug Miller I can be when Christ is at work in me. How do we cooperate with this Holy Spirit? How do we, when He comes into our lives, how do we just attract Him and ask Him to come? And how do we work in our own lives so that He may flourish? Well, we see that. Paul continues to talk in Ephesians chapter 5. Remember, Ephesus is part of modern-day Turkey. Its population at that time was 200,000 people, one of the main tourist areas in all of Asia Minor. The Ephesians were, Ephesus was the one place where they held one of the seven wonders of the world at the time. That wonder was called the Temple of Diana, or the Temple of Artemis. And people came from all over. Much of what sprung out of Ephesus centered around this temple of a fertility goddess named Diana. Very good. Okay. So hotels and restaurants and artisans were all there. And if you could take an offering to the temple, you could have sex with one of the temple priestesses. In fact, in Acts, Paul says that the Christian faith was beginning to grow so strong, it was so much opposite of what the religious people of that day were thinking, that it started to put some of the merchants out of business. And they began to get angry with the church because other people were coming in and they were learning, understanding this new understanding of Christ and what He's done and what He wants to do. So Paul, rather than, you know, kind of flicking it back off to the Ephesians, he says this. He says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, and always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you cooperate with the Holy Spirit as He wants to start to build from the inside? 2 points, they'll be real quick, and then we'll be out of here. Good, because we got 5 minutes. I can do this. You folks just hold on. Here we go. Ready? Number one, be intentional. You never, ever drift anywhere that you really want to be. We get up on Monday mornings and we start with our list of things to do. We got to do this and do that and do this and do that and then eat breakfast and then do this and that and this and that and this and that and this, you know, and on and on. But when it comes to our Christian lives, we live kind of randomly. We live randomly. What happens in a moment, we just kind of go with the flow. There is no fixed point for many of us that we can take some time each day or sometimes even just every hour to get our focus again on really who we are and whose we are. Oh, no, it went dead. Okay, that's all right. They'll get it. They're only the last 5 minutes. They'll get it. They're smart. All right, rather than having a fixed point every day or every hour that helps us to make a lot of decisions before they even come up. So, For me, maybe it is God. I just want to remind you, I'm yours. You're stuck with me, but I depend on you, and I need you. And God, I have two kids, and they're really wonderful kids. But Lord, I want them to see something in me always that represents you, that'll stick in their minds, so that when decisions come, the decisions will already be made because of what they've seen in you, in me. And so, sometimes I go into a meeting and I say, Lord, just help me to be the man that I want my son to be. Help my kids see how I handle money in a way that is pleasing to you. Lord, help me to be the kind of example for my daughter so that when she starts to look around for that guy, maybe she'll say a lot of these guys are idiots, because a lot of them are. And look for some characteristics and qualities that remind her of me that I hope are reminding her of God. And Lord, just be with me. Help me to be the kind of man that my wife can look at and say, I'm just so thankful that they have a godly father and I have a man that loves me. So number one, take those moments during your day and find that fixed point to say, God, I'm your child. Now, fill me so that I can be more like you in this world. The other thing is, just real quickly, this. Just take your moment and your moments and make them eternal. Listen, most of our days are utterly useless. All right? You're going to get into your 90s and hundreds. Sorry, Agnes, I couldn't go into hundreds only. But you know what? Just to encourage you for a moment, okay? Just think about it. This will encourage you. Most of your great-grandchildren will not even remember your name. But every time you have an opportunity to interact with somebody else, it is a chance to make an eternal impression. Whether it's a meeting or being with your partners or being with your clients, and you got tough issues to deal with that require a lot of tact, no one will ever remember the details of how you work things out. But somebody or somebodies may very well remember a pleasant kindness attracted their attention about you, that shows there is something different about, that shows there's something different about, that shows there's something different about, that's right. The Christian life isn't hard, it is impossible. But the good news is that God has made the impossible possible with the Holy Spirit. We can hang with Him, or we can hang with the old man that's dead in sin. I don't know what you've walked in here with today. I don't know what you're carrying. Maybe you have a broken marriage, and you're like, been working at it, trying, and I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what to do next. Maybe you have children or grandchildren, and they're so far off the rails, you don't know where to turn or who to talk to. Maybe you got a financial wall in front of you, and it keeps coming towards you faster and faster and faster. Maybe it's some kind of a business thing, and it's tomorrow. The anxiety is already building because of tomorrow. Or maybe it's a medical thing. The doctors look at you and say, I don't know what to do. We're just at our wits' end. When you walk out of here today, the good news is that those same problems are going to be with you as when you came in here. But being here and listening to God, His word never changes. If you're hanging out with the Holy Spirit, you're allowing Him to work in you, all those things out there will fall into place. Because none of them are eternal. The Holy Spirit wants to build something inside of you, and you can join or not. But when you do, you will have a sturdiness that will allow you to navigate through the problems and the struggles of life simply because He is dwelling within you. And our God will never, ever, ever abandon you in the midst of anything that will come your way, which I think Paul understood when he said, when God is for us, one more time, if God is for us, one more time and then I'll let you go. If God can be for us, are we going to sing that verse or not? Okay, ladies, to the piano and organ, let's go.